Hi, this is Wendy Jensen-Nichols with WhamSafety.com. I'm so excited to share with you one of the most important facets of safety is our emotional well-being and loving ourselves. Be sure to join us to hear some great tools that you can use and listen to our fabulous guests, Jeff and Shayla, on their emotional support farm.
Wham Safety. The Wham Safety Podcast with Wendy Jensen Nichols and Paul Ferber.
WhamSafety.com. Wham.
One of the most important facets of safety is our emotional well-being and loving ourselves. After you have gone through a horrific incident such as divorce, rape, injury, or an illness, or losing someone, these are all difficult trials that we need to care for ourselves. It's like when you're on an airplane and you know how they'll say to you, hey, if we hit turbulence, the masks are gonna fall down. You're supposed to grab your own mask and put that on you first. And then you can help your child or somebody else next to you. So I think that's a lot like emotional support. A lot of times we forget and we focus on helping everyone else, and we first need to look at caring for ourselves. So I think that's an important part of safety. And so with that, I'm excited to introduce to you today, I have Shayla and Jeff that are gonna share with us a little bit about their story and what they have done and how they've turned those experiences into something positive that they're helping others with. And so with that, I would love to maybe first hear from you, Shayla. What made you start your emotional support ranch?
First of all, thank you, Wendy, for having us here today. It's kind of hard to talk about. Like, I don't like to share a lot of stuff. I kind of keep it quiet. About 3 years ago, I was in a very, very low spot in my life, going through a divorce, emotionally dead, and I needed to find myself again. I started with horse therapy. I knew that I needed to be in some kind of therapy, and sitting on a couch wasn't what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I looked for a different avenue and I found horse counseling. And I found myself again through that. It's interesting to say that a horse saved my life, but it really did. A horse saved my life.
I love that.
I started going to counseling 4 times a month, and working with horses is a silent connection that is just incredible. You start building emotion and I guess rebuilding emotion and connections, because you have to understand and interpret body language a lot differently. Mm-hmm. And those connections really changed my life and helped me to start actually feeling again. Like, I hadn't cried in probably 3 years before that. And to be able to cry again at the way the horse stuck around after a counseling session was pretty incredible.
Oh, wow.
So that was the beginnings of our animal ranch. After that, I found our property in Plain City, moved there. My boy said, get some animals, Mom, get some animals. And of course, we started out with 3 goats. And I spent a lot of time in the pasture just contemplating life, reconnecting to nature and to the animals. And I was amazed at what peace I found out there. It's not like a petting zoo or anything like that. It's just a simple connection with the animals that really changed my life.
I love that. I think that's so wonderful, because I think a lot of times, like you said, we think of that regular counseling, which is great, but I think there's something special about the animals that really is so powerful, because they have that connection with us.
I don't ever want to cut any kind of counseling, because if you need to talk to somebody, absolutely talk to somebody.
Definitely.
And with me right now, and with COVID and everything, I couldn't go to the barn anymore. Mm-hmm. So I just call in Zoom link. I still do counseling because I need to feel validated. I need that connection even with humans.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not just animals.
Yes, definitely. That's so important. You're absolutely right. So no, thank you. I love that. because I think those are all great resources. And that's what I definitely wanted to talk about today, because I think from a safety perspective, I think some people still look at like counseling like, oh gosh, we don't need that. But I think we all need some type of counseling. And like you said, it can be with another human. It can be with an actual horse or like your Goat Hollow Ranch where you spend time. Like, there's so many other great resources out there available to us.
Absolutely.
Yes. So this is like an exciting one. So I love this. So I appreciate both you and Jeff coming today to talk about this and kind of your guys' journey. Jeff, how did you guys meet? And then how did your journey from your life experiences kind of play into this?
So I'd like to start with first the beginning of my journey, because it leads to how we met and where we were in that place. So my son passed away in 2017. And that also put the nail in the coffin of a marriage that was already dead. It just put the nail in the coffin. So I got divorced right after my son passed away. So I hit pretty rock bottom. And the one event that stands out so much in my mind was that I remember the toilet paper ran out on the roll, and it was a major event. And that was my awakening that I need to do something or I'm going to take my own life.
Oh, wow.
So I'm a military guy. I've got 20 years in military service, retired, and then I'm a civilian, DOD civilian as well. And so we, Air Force, we call it getting re-blued. We'll go put ourselves into a mission. So the mission at the time was Afghanistan, and there was an opportunity for me to go to Afghanistan, and I just wanted to disappear. I wanted to get away from people saying, hey, how are you doing, and all of that attention, and I needed to get away and heal, and really anonymity of being nobody really knowing me.
Right.
And so I went over there. I wish I'd known about equine therapy. It might have saved me a lot of PTSD, but I didn't. So I went over to Afghanistan, and it worked. I went over there for three reasons. The pay was good, and I was dirt poor after the divorce and everything. So it was nice to make some good money. But also I went over there to make a difference. And I was so busy. I did all their infrastructure, and I won't go into all of that, but I feel that I made a difference with the effort going on there. And then thirdly, I went over to heal. My mind quieted enough, believe it or not, even in war, you have your mission and then you go to yourself. You can go hang out with others and you have that brotherhood, sisterhood, but you also have a lot of alone time. And I had a lot of alone time to hash things out with God. We really talked it out. I had a lot of guilt, and I'll summarize this, but I had a lot of guilt when my son died. You know, death beat me. Everybody's like, well, that's stupid. And I go, it is stupid, but I feel like I should have done something. I get pretty emotional, so I give the Cliff Notes version. But praying with God, he told me my son prayed as well, and that with his Down syndrome and autism, that he was in a lot of pain with it, and he was tired, and he wanted it to end. And God basically said, I heard his prayer, and I answered his, knowing you would understand. So that took all my guilt away. So anyway, I was able to heal, and by the grace of God, I came back home safe. Afghanistan was very intense, I will say that. And to get home safe, I really appreciated what God had protected me from. And I was in just such a much better place when I came back. So I worked more with finding my journey with finding God, and still we all do, right? But I ended up in a really good place. So then I think the timing, I was in a good place and I was ready to meet somebody. And the men upstairs knew that as well. We had been neighbors before, Shayla and I. So we were friends on Facebook. So I saw her on Facebook and I'm like, oh, she's single and she's cute. So I started kind of being a little flirtatious on Facebook. She was dating somebody else at the time. So when I asked her out, I crashed and burned terribly because she said she didn't think her boyfriend would appreciate it.
That's awesome.
But good for me, bad for him. They broke up. And so several months later, I asked her out again.
Wait.
Do you want to give that version?
Yeah, I want to give the truth.
Oh, this is good.
All right. So she said, I'm not dating anymore. Do you want to go out after I crashed and burned with the first date?
Yeah, see, I called him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't know she had broken up several months ago, and I thought she just broke up with this guy. And I'm like, what am I, just waiting in the wings here? So at first I said yes, and then I said, no, wait a minute. I look desperate. So I texted her back, because I didn't call, but I texted her back and said, you know what? I've overextended myself. It's my birthday. I'm going up to Northern Idaho with my folks, and I got to hang with my peeps. Anyway, and so she said, we're not going out? And I'm like, no, we're not.
I figured he was gone. I was like, he's out of here. He's hit the road.
Our neighbor gets kudos because she said, give me 2 weeks.
Yep. She said, give him 2 weeks. He'll be back.
And she didn't know me, which I think is funny. She didn't know, but I guess she knows how guys think. So anyway, 2 weeks went by, and I'm like, well, I don't really feel like I'm waiting in the wings anymore and desperate. So I called her up, and I said, hey, you still want to go out? And I picked a restaurant that I didn't know she lived like 3 houses down from. But
oh, that's great.
I'm like, do you know where this place is, the confectionery? She's like, yeah, I know where that is. So we met for dinner, and guys are funny. I think all guys are the same way. I deleted her off of Facebook because I didn't want to get in the way of some other guy that was dating. And, you know, it was just kind of weird. And we went out for a date. She went to show me something or share something. And she's like, you deleted me? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I know exactly when we started going out because that's when I re-added her as a friend on Facebook.
We re-friended.
That's great. That's awesome. And so then you guys got married, and then how did Goat Hollow Ranch come about?
So there was a little bit of going out to the pasture lot when we were dating, and I'm a country boy, and so I love the pasture, and I love being out there taking care of animals and all that. So I started kind of increasing the flock when I bought 3 ducks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Bought 3 ducks for the ranch, and then we had not 22 chickens like we have now. But anyway, she had a pretty good set of chickens, but she only had, I don't know how many goats you had at that time.
I had 6 when we started dating. Yeah.
Anyway, we ended up getting married and a lot of time in the pasture, but...
We do spend a lot of time in the pasture. Yeah,
it's peaceful.
No doubt about it. That's where we find peace.
I love that.
And that's really where we went with what we're doing now, which is the Emotional Support Animal Ranch, is that we were out there just talking, walking around the pasture, and absolutely in peaceful bliss. And one of us said, we got to share this. We need to share this with other people. And my son came in, and we felt like he inspired a lot because he loved animals and worked with animals when he was alive. That was one of the things he could do. So we felt like he kind of inspired. And with the prices of animals and things, we can get into that in a minute, but it just seems like he's all over it. Him and the man upstairs have really blessed us and guided us, for sure. So we have had all the way up to 26 goats out of 6. I think we're currently at 17.
Yes, 17.
Including 2 fainting goats.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love that. And so now with the ranch, you guys are sharing it with the community. So it's free for people to come and have that same experience that you guys have both felt going through the horrific issues that you've dealt with. And now you share that with others. And so tell us maybe a little bit about that. And I know in one case in particular, there's been a young man that you guys are helping raise money for a wheelchair. And tell us more.
So I'm going to let you tell that story, but I can tell kind of what we've been doing. We decided to open up on the 30th of April. We've had 170 visitors since then. Things have developed that we should have thought of, but we didn't necessarily think of. We did 2-hour blocks more for us and the animals, but it worked out perfect because some of the people with special needs, too much stimulus is too much stimulus. They have a hard time with a lot of crowds. I know my son did. And then also if something happens, if somebody has a seizure or something, you have a ton of people trying to jump in there and help out. And as a parent of a special needs kid, you know what they need and you don't need all that help. And so it's a lot of hindrance of what you're trying to do. Sometimes it's embarrassing. You're like, hey, I don't want all this around. So the 2-hour block, again, inspired by my son, I think leads us around. But the 2-hour block is your time. So when a family shows up with whoever they want to bring, we try to keep it at 10 or less, but whoever they want to bring, friends, whoever, that they want to bring in and share this experience, that's what we do the 2-hour block for. And it's their time. And we offer, you know, 5 or 6 things to do, you know, pet the donkeys, get kissed by a bull, you know, hold a baby goat, get your own chicken eggs, you know, so feed the pigs, hold a rabbit. We offer all of this and we kind of run through that. And then we let them decide what they want to do. I always want to hold a baby goat first, but
definitely that's the best part.
Yeah,
right
yeah, yes. Who doesn't want to hold a baby goat and kiss a bull?
Exactly. Yes. I love it, and that's been super fun to have that experience with you guys. Absolutely. Right, yeah. Yes. So I love that. And so I know you've done a special memorial. Shayla has done that for your son. Mm-hmm. Out there, can you tell us a little bit about that, Shayla?
Yeah, I saw on Facebook one time just this Zen thing. I guess that's what, I don't even know what to call it.
Lantern ladder.
Yeah, lantern ladder is a good way to describe it. I saw it, and I'm like, I really wanted to build one. I thought it would be really cool to have in the corner of the yard or something. So when we started putting together Goat Hollow Ranch, I knew I really needed that. And I needed it done for the opening, and I didn't tell Jeff about a lot of it. I just knew I needed to get it done. And so I worked on it, put it up, got it built, and I had a plaque made with Jesse's picture on it because he really did inspire our ranch. Sorry, I'm gonna be emotional.
No, you're good.
I was emotional when she showed it to me. There's a lot of tears flow at our ranch. For sure.
Absolutely. It's a special place, like you guys said. And that's why I'm so honored and proud to talk to both of you guys, because you are both so inspiring to all of us that through your own pain and your own tragics, you guys have built this incredible ranch to share for others. And sorry, I'm all getting emotional about it.
Don't do that. We got to stop the tears, not keep them coming.
Yeah, we'll just share them later, you know.
But you guys seriously are an incredible, powerful couple that have truly walked through your own depths of hell. And with that, you guys have turned this amazing ranch into a special place for others to come and feel that zen, that special place to where you can relax and just reconnect and heal from your pain.
It's kind of funny because people ask us, oh, you're like a petting zoo. And it's like, no, we are far from a petting zoo. And we are a plain, simple pasture. The animals just run around and they're there, but there's something magical about it.
There is. And it's funny because we are no frills. You come out to our pasture, and I tell people that before they come out, you know, wear your dirty clothes, wear your dirty shoes. Mm-hmm. We are a pasture. I even brought that up when we first opened because I was a little bit nervous. You know, I said, we're not a petting zoo and not all that glamour. And the guy that one of the first visitors said, yeah, that's the magic of this place, mm-hmm. is it's not that. And you come out and you come to the animals' home. So they're comfortable and they haven't been, you know, trucked around somewhere and all agitated from that. So you come to their home and spend time with them. And it's funny to watch how the animals adapted as well. Like, mm-hmm. I say in our bowl, I can tell when he's accepted you and you turn around and you can bend over and he'll touch his nose to your nose. He's kind of figured out that's a thing. And just everybody with the treats and all of that. It's just funny how they've adapted as well. They all want to get loved on. Our animals are very loving. And so they come up and get petted on. So, I mean, it's a win-win for them, too. I didn't want to lead into Shayla. You're leading. I'm going to take over your podcast.
No, it's a great.
I thought it was a great segue to go into what we've got up and coming and what my awesome wife, saw off with our first visitor.
Awesome. So, yes. So, with that, stay tuned. You can't miss the next episode on hearing this great new adventure that they have coming forth. So, stay tuned. We'll be back.
WAM Safety. The WAM Safety Podcast with Wendy Jensen Nichols and Paul Thurber.
WAM. WAMSafety.com. WAM.